Hi, this is Bob Ali from Umma Films. I'm here on The Dean Show, and in a few minutes, I'll be talking about my story to Islam.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of The Dean Show. Thank you for tuning in. We got some great news. When we come back, he's going to be telling us his story, how he went from living according to his desires, which led him to doing some funny and unique things, crazy things, to the submission and to surrender to the one God. We'll be back with our next guest, Baba Ali, here on The Dean Show. You don't want to go nowhere.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was His messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam to Allah.
How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah. All praises to the Creator who's given us this ability and has united us to be together again here on The Dean Show.
I'm happy to be here.
Baba Ali. It's going to be some fun today.
Inshallah.
So I was introducing trying to introduce the topic, but it's very unique because you came to Islam and you mentioned something about witchcraft. I didn't know how to. I've had guests come over from Christianity, from this ism, that ism, but. Was this a religion?
You can say it was somewhat of a religion because it's actually called the religion of Wicca. And when you don't have guidance, you really have no guidance. And I resorted down to trying to find something to clinch onto. And I started putting rocks around my neck and believing that these rocks and these pebbles had, just like the people used to worship idols, that these things can actually give me something. And
Let's talk about your past now. Let's get right into the topic. This is very interesting for me and for a lot of our viewers because we never covered something like this. And I'm sure there was, is this a big, what was it, can it be a cult, a religion? Is it a big following of this?
There's a lot of people practicing this, and it's strange. It's a strange world. You have people who write books in blood, and they have spells, and you have people who wear emblems and think that these things will actually bring them good things. And unfortunately, you see some of this cross over to people who are quote-unquote religious, follow superstition. All this stuff is all nonsense, by the way.
Yeah.
And when I came to Islam, I finally was enlightened and saw the truth. But realized that these things mean they have nothing. They can do nothing for you.
Well, let's back it up. Tell us, how did you now, where you're obviously, usually, as we're taught that everyone is born in a pure state.
Yes.
In a pure state that if you left that child to grow up alone, that he would grow up not worshiping the sun, the moon, or witches or whatnot. But usually this is nurtured and he gets kind of influenced by the surroundings that are around him. What were your surroundings while you were growing up? Were there witches around you? Or were there people in this cult? Or what were you? Were you born into a family that was predominantly what?
My family was predominantly secular. So they really didn't practice any type of religion whatsoever.
Yeah.
And this is why they say basically you can do whatever you want to do as long as you get good grades.
Yeah. So that's like just a typical...
You know what? You want to worship rocks? Go ahead, worship rocks. As long as you get your A's, that's all
care
about.
Good, yeah.
And unfortunately, they don't realize that these things are even more important than my education. Education is very important, but at the same time, the way your behavior, your attitude, not just this life, more importantly, the hereafter.
Yeah.
No one thinks about the hereafter. They always think about this dunya. They think about successes in this dunya. But the real success is in the hereafter. That doesn't mean you ignore the success in this life. But unfortunately, many parents who are secular, they don't think about giving you the guidance for the next life.
Yeah. So now you're growing up and now you're a teen. At around what age did you get into this freaky stuff?
I think it was about the age of like 18, about 18 years old, and I'm like just looking for something.
Just bored
looking for something because I had no religion, nothing.
Yeah.
I just knew there was a God, but I didn't know what the answer or what the truth was.
Yeah.
Just like many people who are looking for the truth out there.
That's how it usually is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the first thing I found, so I clinched onto it.
And tell us, go on. This is
so I started taking these rocks and putting them around my neck, thinking these rocks are going to benefit me. And eventually it came to a point that I realized that these rocks are the creation. And either you have a choice of worshiping either the creation or the creator. And I said, these rocks can't even save themselves. How are they going to help me? And I put those rocks down and said, I need to start looking for the truth. So, and that's where I started my quest of looking for the truth.
Tell us some other ways of life that you came upon that you were, and what were the things that you were looking for so that person who's also sincere and he's wanting to know the truth, he can kind of take a shortcut instead of taking that long way around to learn from some of your mistakes.
Well, first of all, I said to myself, okay, if the Creator is unlimited and He's all powerful and He's perfect, then His religion must be perfect. So let me start looking at all these different people who say, oh, our religion is the truth. Because anyone you speak to, they say, oh, this religion is the truth, and this, we're sent by God, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay, I'll give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Let me try everything out. Let me see what's out there. Every time I came into a study of religion, every time I found a mistake, or I found an error, or I found it's been changed by man, I put it to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can that be a religion from God if it has mistakes in it?
Yeah.
Also, I realized that, okay, if God, like for example, they say, oh, God couldn't die, or God is a statue. And then if I can break your God, then that can't be God.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, every time I find a mistake, I put it to the side. Eventually, I came across the last religion, which was Islam. And it's interesting how I got into that point, because at the time where it came for me to look into Islam, my father got onto his heart attack, and he was in the hospital. And the doctor said he's going to need triple bypass surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And that surgery was unsuccessful. So they told us he's going to die. So I'm sitting at UCLA Hospital and sitting at basically my father's deathbed. And I was supposed to go to a winter camp to learn about Islam. And my mother said, don't go, stay here, because this is more important.
Because
mm-hmm. your father can pass away. You can go to your little quest in the future.
Yeah.
And I told my parents, okay, I'll stay. And as I sat there next to my father on watching him on his quote-unquote deathbed, I realized that this can be me. Because when you go to a graveyard, they don't die when they're old. They die in all types of ages. They have infants, they have toddlers, they have teenagers, they have people my age, and they have people who are old. It's all these infants. No one knows when death is going to come. Yeah. So I told myself, I can be dead. If Islam is the truth, let me go at least investigate it. Because I can die before this guy passes away.
Yeah.
So I told my mom, I'm changing my mind and I'm going to go. She was completely against it, and I went. And when I went there, I was just had zero idea what Islam is about. Yeah. Zero. Took my girlfriend to Islamic camp with me.
But before that, you had investigated all the different religions. Ways of life, Buddhism, yeah. and this
looked at
way
it, yeah.
of life and that way of life, yeah. whatever was out there.
Yes.
And it just, from the face of it, it just yeah. didn't fit.
I came from a science major.
Yeah.
When you look at the Bible and it says the earth has four corners,
yeah.
basically this is the whole argument between the earth is flat and the earth is round, that's wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
it's not flat. I mean, the scientists were fighting it and the church was throwing these people into prison. And now they've realized, oh yeah, maybe it's not flat. Well, Muslims, we knew this 1,400 years ago, that it's not flat. And when I found the scientific miracles of the Quran, that was amazing to me. I mean, if you, any science person, there was always science versus Christianity, and this is always a debate. Trying to discover each other, they're always debating it. Even when I was in junior high school, they're debating Christianity, or what they call creationism versus science. But Islam and science, they don't conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people, yes, you come up with theories, but that's not fact. But fact, it doesn't conflict with Islam.
Yeah.
And that, to me, was amazing. And the miracles within the scientific miracles was amazing to me. So that's one of the first things that I caught my attention when I started looking into Islam in that winter camp.
Now, before we go on and we talk about how finally you were overtaken or you found that this was indeed the truth, let's talk about quickly some of these other ways. Because now if somebody came to you and was talking to you about God being a man, for instance,
yes.
like some people today, they take, you know, one of yes. the greatest messengers of God as a man.
Yes.
Did you ever come and have a dialogue with someone about this?
Yes.
To talk to them and say why this didn't make sense to you?
Yes. There's actually a person knocked on my door, and they were, you know, knocking on my door trying to preach the message. And at that time, I was still searching. And I hadn't really studied the Quran too much, but I was just starting to get into it. And the guy knocked on my door and said, I'm here to spread the good message, and Jesus is coming, and blah, blah, blah. So I said, okay. And he opens up his book and said, do you have any proof for this? Because I'm actually looking for the truth.
Mm.
And he says, yes, let me read you this passage. And I said, before you read it to me, who wrote this passage? He says, well, this is written by so-and-so. I said, wait a second, are you 100% sure? He says, well, I think so. He looked up in the back of it, and it shows some of them they know, some of them they don't know, some of them are question marks. And I said, is this the original language that this book was revealed in? He says, no, it was translated to Latin, then translated to English. And me, having English as my second language, I know that when you translate something from another language to another language, it loses meaning. And I said, first of all, the book is not, you're not 100% sure who wrote it. Two, it's been translated. And I said, has the book been changed? He said, yes, it's been changed as well.
You're asking very good questions.
Yes, I mean, and then the guy starts thinking, he's like, you know what? These are very good things that you're talking about. And these guys knocking on my door. He says, well, what do you think? I said, you know what? I don't know. I'm still looking for the truth too. So what have you come across when you're truth seeking? I said, the last book I'm starting to get into is the Quran. So, okay, what is that about? So we start having this dialogue with each other. And I tell him that so far, the Quran that I've been looking at so far, before I even look at the text, there's only one version of it. Even though there's different people have different ideas, there's only one version of the Quran in Arabic. And that's it. And the book has not been changed. And the book has the same style all the way from beginning to end. And I said, wow, this is very unique. So yeah. So by the time the guy left, he said, I'm going to go look into the Quran.
So he came knocking on your door, trying to preach to you and try to have you come over, but...
He said, I'm going to go look into the Quran. And that was it.
Yeah.
And the dialogue ended. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to look into it too. And we just ended up, and it was a very nice conversation.
Wow, this is amazing. How about the idea that now somebody, and I heard you talk about this before, I forgot exactly how you explained it, but the idea that someone is coming to die for your sins.
Yes.
You made an analogy about this. Can you talk about this idea?
Well, you know, if you take it a situation like, let's say, I have one of my coworkers I work with. He says, you know, XYZ came, and Jesus came and died for your sins. And you have basically green light. I mean, everything's okay. I said, if we thought the same way, if we thought in this, the world thought this way, that someone has taken care of everything, it's like giving you a credit card and says, you know what, no matter what you charge, your bill will be paid for. Imagine what type of chaos you would have in this society if people didn't know that they were going to be accountable for their deeds, that someone else would be taking care of everything for you. It would be complete chaos. You know what? I killed somebody, but it's okay. Jesus will forgive me. And you know what? So-and-so, I did that, but Jesus will forgive me. You know what? I have this temptation to cheat on somebody or cheat him in business or cheat on a woman or cheat on this, but you know what? Jesus will take care of it because he died for me, because I'm sinful, and he will take care of it. If people had this mentality, imagine how much chaos there would be. But Islam teaches the exact opposite. It says no one's going to take care of it. You will be held accountable. Everyone will be held accountable. If you do good, you get good. If you do bad, you get bad. This is what we in this society teach. You don't go to the court and say, you know what, I kill people, but guess what, I know the judge will take care of it. Imagine how that would be.
Yeah.
So to us, it's like, when you go to court, it says, what did you do? Did you do this? Yes. Did you, you're going to be accountable for it? If you did good, you get good. If you did bad, you're going to get punished for it. And that's what Islam teaches us.
Now that just makes sense. It goes down easy, goes down well, easy to digest. Tell us, now you're at this camp, you said?
Yes.
Okay, tell us what happened now.
So I go to the camp, and it's interesting because what happens is girlfriend's on one side, I'm on the other side, and men and women are separated. We've never seen men and women separated before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
This is all new to me. And we see, I sit at a table for lunch and dinner, and my table is surrounded with all these people with different color faces. Because when you go to high school, you go to college, you see everyone, the Hispanic people hang out together, black people hang out together, white people hang out together,
mm-hmm.
the guys with in punk music, they hang out together.
Yeah.
The guys who play basketball, they hang out together. By default, just like animals, we segregate based on our color or find some type of simple bond to connect with. We're all from Persia, we're all from here. And when I went to the camp, I realized, wow, these people are all different and they're all hanging out with each other. So I asked them, you guys must know each other for like 10 years now, right? So no, we just met yesterday.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, there's something unique about these people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know more. What bonds you guys together? And he tells me, Islam. And I quickly learned that we don't have a choice of what color skin we're born in. Your skin is white, I'm darker, I'm more barbecued. And there's people who are black, people green, yellow. No one asked us what color skin you're going to be born in, where do you want to be born in, what language you want to speak. So that's a very, very weak bond for us to connect ourselves with. But we do have a choice of the ideas we want to carry. And when you bond two people together with the ideas that they carry, that makes a strong bond. And that is what I saw, and seeing Islam implemented by action and not just by a bunch of words or a pamphlet, that's what amazed me and made me want to learn more about it.
Now, you asked a very important question. When that person, individual, came to your door, you said, what's the proof?
Yes.
What was the proof for Islam that also had you, along with this, convinced?
There was a couple of things. There's one, the linguistic things within it. I was amazed on the simplicity of it. What Islam taught. Be good to your parents. You know, some of the religions, yes, they do teach some similar things. Don't be bad, do good, blah, blah, blah. But some of the things were just, it was just amazing how things just clicked and made sense. You know, until recently, we had a black president. And this was a very big deal in America. Wow, we choose a person with dark skin. They don't even talk about his intelligence, which is far more intelligent than the last president. They don't talk about this thing. Just the very fact that his skin, pigment of his skin is a little bit darker than our skin, this should be a very big deal that look how far we've come.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to Islam and what Islam taught. It got rid of racism by the time of the second Khalif, which is equivalent to like the second president here.
Yeah.
And by that time, a person who was a slave in Egypt was a governor in Egypt. And this was a black man. It wasn't a big deal. It didn't make the newspapers. It didn't make the history books. Islam came to teach us and to enlighten us to go away from these animal instincts of animal desires and animal mentality, to come us to enlighten us, to raise us, to make us better than everything else, to not follow our desires, but to follow our Creator, inshallah. And that's what amazed me.
Okay, so what happens now? Now you're amazed, you're convinced. I mean, did you have to go get dipped in a pool? What happens?
No.
Is there some big, big ceremony?
No.
I mean, did you have to jump through some ropes, hoops?
I told myself, if I ever find the truth, I'll follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And this means even if you have to sacrifice things that you desire.
Yeah.
And I liked my girlfriend very much, but this thing was much more than just a girlfriend. I mean, this thing was more important than, if I found the truth, and I said, if I ever convinced that this is the truth, I will follow it. And I was convinced. And I said, I told my girlfriend that, look, I can't be girlfriend-boyfriend anymore because I want to do things Islamically. And Islamically is, look, you take responsibility. It's not like, okay, you know what, you just go around this girl with this girl with this girl. You want a girl, you can have a girl, but you have to accept the responsibility of taking care of her, providing for her, feeding her, you know, and if she has a child, you take care of that, you take care of your responsibility. Again, accountability is here. No more, you know what, who cares, just think about me, me, me. Now I have to think of my Creator and make sure I please Him. And by pleasing Him, I have to take care of my wife, my children, etc. So I told her that I can't have a girlfriend-boyfriend relationship anymore, and that wasn't easy for her. So I told her this is over. The relationship is over. Unless we get married, the relationship is over. From there, some of my friends I came with, they came to just check out what I'm learning about. And I told them, look, I used to be Persian, but I'm not Persian anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Muslim now.
Mm-hmm.
Which what that means basically is that, not that, okay, I can take away from where I'm born in, but that culture, part of the culture that I used to practice, that will conflict with the Islam, I'm not going to practice anymore. The mentality that men are better than women, you know, and that we have this pride of my country is better than, because our Persian ancestors, all this stuff is out the window now. You know, now people are people. This is like, it's like a clean slate. It cleared up my mind. It's like you put these glasses on that you can actually see now. I've been blinded for all this time. And it just enlightened my thinking.
So what did you have to do to become a Muslim?
To become Muslim is very simple. All you do is give your shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, which means I bear witness that there's no God but Allah. And Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, is the final and last messenger. That's it. The same God that was from Abraham, Jesus, Moses, and the final prophet is Muhammad. And we accept all the prophets before him and the messages before them. But our book for us as Muslims, and for not just Muslims, for the whole world, is the Quran. And to follow it will give you success in the hereafter. And inshallah, that is more important than anything that we can gain here in this dunya.
Tell us before we come to an end and a close that for you, living the typical life, as a youth, getting involved in a lot of the things that are out there, you know, you stopped. You started to really ponder and think about more important things. You started to actually search for the truth. Many people they don't want to do that. They're not thinking about death. They're not thinking about the hereafter. What advice would you give someone, because you're very young, and at that age you were younger when you accepted the truth, for somebody who is at that age that you were, to give them some encouragement and advice to really think and stop and know it's not all about the nightclub, it's not all about chasing to get the rims on the car, it's not all about chasing the women and the good times. What advice do you give to somebody like this? To stop and think.
You know, the thing that there's sort of so much stuff that we're not sure about in this life. I can go study as much as I want, and I may not even get my degree at the end. My life may be taken before that. I'm sure many of us know people who didn't know the death was coming for them. You have situations where you struggle for so much that you think is so important, something so important for you, and you get it, and you're like, that's it? Now something else becomes so important, and then you get that, and you think, that's it? Everything in this life is so temporary, and something that's so important today becomes nothing tomorrow. But paradise is forever. And I said to myself, I'm not sure about a lot of things that's going on in this world. But one thing I am sure about, and no matter what religion you are, no matter what, even if you're atheist or whatever, one thing is guaranteed, is every soul shall taste death. Everyone's going to die. Do you know what's going to happen when you're going to die? Are you 100% sure you know what's going to happen when you die? Because unless you are 100% sure, you better start investigating. And I'm not saying just look into what Islam says. Look, Islam taught us to think, not to blindly follow. Look at all these religions. Compare them. See. Look at the systems of life. And you'll be amazed. I mean, it's very clear. It's not very complicated at all. It's very clear. And hopefully, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten you and make you towards the right path, inshallah.
Now, there's something telling us, because you did say, and this is the third one we caught, some Arabic words. You're going to have to define them. They heard Islam, they heard Muslim, and you just said Allah. You got to define these words for the audience now.
The word Allah means one God. It's an Arabic word for one God. It's very clear. The word Islam is submission to one God. And this is the religion that Muslims practice, which is Muslims are the ones who submit to God.
That's it.
Simple. Islam is simple. It's not even complicated.
People think, you know, this whole, if you got to be someone who is religious or you follow this God-conscious lifestyle, that you have to be some weird person, that you have to be someone locked in a room.
Most people, you hang out with me. I go play basketball. I go do this. I go do that. I just have a normal life. But I do everything within the boundaries of Islam. And that means, like, if I'm going to go have fun, I do it. I don't have to do without alcohol, without drugs, without this. If I want, sometimes I do stuff that's against my own desires. I want to go do something, and my parents will tell me, I don't want you to go. Now, before Islam, who cares? I'll go do it. But after Islam, I realize I'm responsible of listening to my parents. And they raised me. They took care of me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to listen to our parents. As long as it doesn't conflict with Islam, I have to listen to it. So sometimes you have to follow something you don't even desire. But you do it with the hope that you will gain reward for it in the hereafter, inshallah.
What are some of the misconceptions that nowadays you travel a lot, you're all over the place, that you've seen that people have about Islam?
I think a lot of people, unfortunately, because of the media, like Fox News and all the stuff you see on television, they have this, they put people on TV that are unfortunately a very, very small fraction of what's out there. And they get this people that may know very little about Islam, and they're the ones who are the voice. They're the loudest speakers, and they give the voice, and they give the misconception of what Islam is really about. Mm. The best way to find out what Islam is really about is to find a practicing Muslim and go ask him. And that will clear everything up. Don't listen to the media. Don't listen to the movies. That's all the stuff is for entertainment and to get people into fear and all that kind of stuff. Real is to see, and just like you do in real life. If I want to go see what a vegetarian does, I'll go hang out and ask a vegetarian, why do you guys eat veggies? So you go see a Muslim, say, how come you guys do this and how come you do that? And ask a person who practices it, because a practicing Muslim, not just some guy whose name is, Ali. Just because his name is Ali doesn't mean he's... Many of us are born into the religion, but not necessarily convinced of it.
Yeah. Now, tell us, we got a couple minutes left. Some of this wonderful work you're doing, you travel a lot, you're all over the place. Tell us some of your projects that you got going on.
Well, I have a few different projects I do. I do one video called Umma Films, UMMAHFILMS.com, and that's where I put up videos trying to clear up some of the misconceptions of what we Muslims, born people who are born to Islam, are doing this incorrect. And alhamdulillah, when I mean alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, that Allah showed me Islam before He showed me the Muslims. And the reason for that is because sometimes you see Muslims doing stuff that have nothing to do with Islam, which is really one of the main reasons that people have a lot of misconceptions of what Islam is about.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So that's why it's better to study the text and see what Islam teaches, rather than, hey, Muslim, I see this guy doing something strange, I wonder if that's what Islam teaches. Like forced marriages. Some Muslims practice this whole forced marriages thing, and that's nothing to do with Islam. It's actually, Islam forbids it. And if you look at the Islamic text, a woman doesn't get married, her marriage is not valid unless she approves of the person she's married, getting married to.
Yeah.
So, and that's one project, and I have board games, BabaAliGames.com, and I'm inventing board games that both Muslims and non-Muslims can play, and I have a project called Half Our Deen, which the logo I'm wearing, and I try to help people find each other for marriage.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much for being with us here on the Deen Show.
Jazakallah khair, and thank you very much for inviting me. I had a great time.
Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Deen Show. I hope you got to benefit. We're here every week trying to help you understand Islam and Muslims. And we look forward, God willing, to have you back again for another episode of the Deen Show next week. Until then, assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
وآية لهم الأرض الميتة أحييناها وأخرجنا منها حبا فمنه يأكلون وجعلنا فيها جنات من نخيل وأعناب فجرنا فيها من العيون ليأكلوا من ثمره وما عملته أيديهم أفلا يشكرون سبحان الذي خلق الأزواج كلها مما تنبت الأرض ومن أنفسهم ومما لا يعلمون وآية لهم الليل نسلخ منه النهار فإذا هم مظلمون والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم والقمر قدرناه منازل حتى عاد كالعرجون القديم لا الشمس ينبغي لها أن تدرك القمر ولا الليل سابق النهار وكل في فلك يسبحون